KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, we have clearer skies, 35 degrees in Atlantic. We look forward to be partly cloudy here today with a high near 60. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by the TV Store, your Verizon Wireless agent and Dish Network satellite system dealer at 907 East 7th Street in Atlantic. The Creston Police Department is reporting four recent arrests. Early Sunday morning, 29-year-old Casey White of Creston was arrested for public intoxication and assault with injury. White was later released from the Ringgold County Jail on $1,000 bond. Sunday afternoon, Creston police arrested 35-year-old Brian Whitfield of Creston on a charge of simple assault. Whitfield was later released on $300 bond. Saturday night, 39-year-old Travis Wombold of Creston was arrested for driving while suspended. He was also later released on $300 bond. And Friday night, 20-year-old Haley Pierce of Creston was arrested for driving while suspended. She was later released on $300 bond as well. Authorities say two people were nearly crushed when a falling tree hit their SUV as they drove down a Cedar Rapids street. The tree was about 3 feet in diameter but snapped when a wind gust struck it Saturday morning. The tree trunk came down in front of the SUV, stopping it in its tracks. The two people inside were taken to a hospital for treatment of minor injuries. Wind gusts up to 58 miles per hour were recorded in Cedar Rapids Saturday. One person died, three others were injured during a single vehicle accident Sunday morning in southeastern Iowa. The Iowa State Patrol says a 2006 Cadillac SUV was traveling south on Appanoose County Road S-70, just north of 490th Street, at around 4:40 a.m. when the vehicle left the highway and went out of control before rolling several times. The driver, 30-year-old Chase McElvain of Seymour, and two passengers were ejected from the SUV as it rolled. McElvain died at the scene. Two passengers, 24-year-old Casey Wills of Seymour and 25-year-old Brett Schultz of Promise City, were flown by helicopter to Mercy Hospital in Des Moines. A third passenger, 25-year-old Courtney Hawk of Corydon, was transported by ambulance to the Wayne County Hospital. Officials say Hawk was wearing a seatbelt while the other victims were not buckled in. The accident remains under investigation. A Marshalltown resident has been arrested in connection with the fatal assault of another man outside of a Marshalltown bar. Authorities say 31-year-old Brandon Skidmore was taken into custody at around 2 a.m. Saturday and charged with second-degree murder. Marshall County jail records say he remained in custody this morning. Police said in a news release the victim was assaulted in an alley as the Center Street Station bar was closing. He was pronounced dead later at a hospital. The man's name has not been released. Authorities have released the name of a man who was fatally shot inside of his trailer home at a mobile park south of Dubuque. Police identified him as 21-year-old Colin Brown. Authorities say several men forced their way into Brown's home early Saturday and fired several shots. Brown ran to a neighbor's home and collapsed. He was pronounced dead later at a Dubuque hospital. The Iowa State Patrol and Iowa Division of Criminal Investigation are helping with the investigation. No arrests have been reported thus far. Governor Terry Branstad has signed the high-profile bill legalizing gun silencers last week, but the governor approved more than a dozen other bills as well. One bill that became law this past week will let the Iowa Lottery start selling tickets from touchscreen self-service computer kiosks. The lottery's current vending machines only dispense scratch tickets and pull tabs. The new machines will let players buy tickets from any Iowa Lottery game offered, including Powerball and Hot Lotto tickets. The machines will not provide cash winnings to players. Another new state law targets identity thieves. After July the 1st, it will be a crime in Iowa to take out a credit card in a child's name without a parent's permission. The governor also approved legislation aimed at finding untested rape kits. Authorities nationwide have discovered thousands of the kits, which contained evidence collected after someone reports a sexual assault. Iowa law enforcement agencies will be surveyed to find out if there are untested kits in storage here in Iowa. The state has received a $2 million federal grant to conduct tests on any kits that are found and might result in prosecution. A House-backed measure that would increase penalties for repeat domestic abusers in Iowa is facing opposition from a group that advocates for domestic violence victims but opposes lengthening mandatory sentences. The repeat abuser bill, which has been pushed by a woman whose boyfriend held her hostage several years ago, easily passed the state house in March. Since then, it has remained in the Senate, where lawmakers are discussing additional changes that would reduce the emphasis on mandatory minimum sentences. The House bill's supporters argue habitual offenders should serve at least 85% of their overall sentence, especially if they're seen as being likely to be violent upon leaving prison. The Iowa Coalition Against Domestic Violence says the bill was well-intentioned, but longer prison sentences don't make abusers less dangerous. Well, this summer, the Domestic Violence Intervention Programs to add 3 dog kennels, 3 cat havens, and an outdoor dog run to its Iowa shelter. The Iowa City Press Citizen reports that the program began emergency pet kenneling for domestic abuse victims more than a decade ago, sending pets to area veterinarians and animal shelters. Now, victims will be able to bring their pets to the shelter and its new on-site kennels, which should be completed by July. Program Director Christy Fortman Dozier said officials have known for a long time that more than 70% of victims of domestic and dating violence have pets. Some victims, she says, won't leave their abusers because they fear for their pets if the animals can't be brought along. The South Dakota Board of Regents has approved a plan to offer in-state undergraduate tuition to new Iowa students at 4 of its public universities. The plan to attract more Iowa students to South Dakota was approved on Friday. At current rates, the tuition discount would reduce new Iowa students' bills by $2,170 per school year. In 2010, Iowa students accounted for 15% of the freshman class at the University of South Dakota. That had slipped to 11% by last year. Gary Steinke is president of the Iowa Association of Independent Colleges and Universities. He says Iowa's private colleges will be watching closely to see if South Dakota's action affects enrollment. Officials at the Iowa Historical Museum in Des Moines say a more than 15-year project to stabilize Iowa's collection of battle flags from the Civil War is now complete. Collections coordinator Kate Coates said just getting the flags out of their display cases at the State House was a big job.
It took 4 years to remove all of the flags from the Capitol and move them to the museum down the hill. And after those flags were all laid flat, then additional conservation work was done in preparation for exhibition.
The collection includes flags from the Civil War through World War I and beyond. The project began in 1999, but it was clear that the flags in several display cases at the State House were deteriorating.
Textiles are particularly sensitive to light. They're particularly prone to fading and to breaking down, particularly silk, which lots of Civil War flags are.
The flags were on flagpoles in a common display case that did not protect them from the elements.
It became very obvious that this was not a sustainable environment for flags.
A new museum quality display case is now available at the Capitol to preserve the stabilization work, and the flags will be rotated through for exhibition there and at the museum. The stabilization involved laying the flags flat because displaying them on flagpoles put stress on the fabrics. The entire project cost more than $2.2 million, as around $95,000 was appropriated each year for the work. The governor's cultural affairs budget for next year includes a savings of $95,000 that's no longer needed with the work completed. The news was brought to you by the TV Store, your Verizon wireless agent and Dish Network satellite system dealer. They're located at 907 East 7th Street in Atlantic. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.